This show is a proud member of the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network. Get more at nerdylegion.com. Enjoy the show.
This is Brightside Home Theater.
Hey, home theater nerds, welcome back to the Brightside Home Theater, and I've got a need for speed. Oh, I've been looking forward to this podcast for a long time. You still don't know what I'm talking about. If you don't know what I'm talking about, we're going to get to that because that is the title as well. I'm not giving this podcast away. But we'll get into all of that in a little bit. Let's get through these pleasantries. I'm DJ. You can reach me on Twitter at BrightsideHT, or you can email me at BrightsideHomeTheater@gmail.com. And of course, you can check out the website, BrightsideHomeTheater.com. And also go to YouTube, hit that subscribe button, hit the like button. I'd really appreciate that. We're trying to grow that as well. Also, I am on Patreon. You want to support the podcast in a monetary way? You can go over to Patreon, search Brightside Home Theater, or go to the website, click on the big red button that says donate. And you can donate as little as $1 a month, or up to whatever you would like. It would help support the podcast, help support all of this that's going on here, all this hardware, the microphone, and all of the computers, and all of the fun stuff that I do. I really appreciate it. But yeah, I have 13 Patreon supporters hanging strong at 13. And thank you very much to everybody that does support the podcast, whether it's through Patreon or on Twitter. We have 3 new Twitter followers this week: John Wern, Martin Ahare, and Jose Espinola. Hopefully I didn't screw up all 3 of your names, or any of your names, to be honest with you. But we're getting new followers on Twitter. Great. Thank you for joining. Thank you for joining in on the conversation. Have some fun with that. We're getting new followers on YouTube as well. That's actually surpassed Twitter. In a few months on YouTube, my subscribers have surpassed Twitter on YouTube, which is pretty cool. Getting some great comments over there. It's actually growing so fast, I'd like to add it here and add the names, but sometimes I don't know. But anyways, we'll move on. Growing and growing, having a blast doing it. Really appreciate it. Another way to support the podcast, you can buy some merch. Go over to TeePublic and pick out a t-shirt, a mug, or whatever, pillows, all sorts of things over there. Different styles, different ideas that you could have put on your t-shirt. Always adding to that as well. And that's TeePublic. And just search Brightside Home Theater or Home Theater, and I should pop right up. Also, links for all that stuff are also in the show notes. Let's get to movies and scenes this week. We have one from Steve George, a definite recommendation from him. He says, at Brightside HD, a definite recommendation from me. And this is for The Mitchells vs. The Machines. And he says, watch this first thing this morning. I'm amazed that this is not getting more attention. Fantastic movie, funny and moving at times. Perfect wet bank holiday viewing. That must be a British thing. I don't even know what that means. Very nice 4K presentation and a punchy Atmos track. Hashtag Netflix, hashtag Cinema George, hashtag 4K, hashtag Atmos, hashtag Dolby. Checks all the boxes for us. So there you go. You've got a great 4K presentation and a punchy Atmos track. So great recommendation there. I'll have to check that one out. I've heard that he's right. It's not getting a lot of play anywhere else, but I did hear one other person. I think I came across somebody else on Twitter that also highly recommended it. So can't go wrong with that. Not that I don't believe Steve all by himself. Trust Steve very much. All right, let's move on to listener comments this week, and we have a few. We'll start off with the responses to Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse 4K or 3D. An HDR report and retweeted it. At HDR Report retweeted this and said, I am spot on. DJ, you are spot on. We rank this a top 25 title, hashtag eye candy. Also from Mark V, the bass at the beginning is insane. First time I thought I blew a woofer, but my kids left a toy right next to the sub and it was rattling. LOL. That's from Mark V on Twitter. Francis Amoko on Twitter also says, man, now I have to double dip to get the 4K and the 3D combo. I already have the Blu-ray, but after listening simultaneously with AV Rant, now, maybe he means back to back, because simultaneously would mean he's got Brightside Home Theater in one ear and he's got AV Rant in the other ear. That's a lot. And both podcasts were pretty long. This was 2 hours. I think my Spider-Man was like an hour and a half. So that's pretty good. But he said, I have to get it. Keep up the good work. And I am trying to keep up the good work, Francis. Really appreciate the support. And then speaking of support, Reginald Boyd, he tweeted, at Brightside HT, don't let the people tell you how to run your podcast. You should always do a podcast on stuff that you love. Bottom line, if you don't lose your focus, so you keep up the good work. And he, yep, absolutely. You got a few more of these as well. Mark V, at Brightside HT, DJ, please don't change anything, LOL. We come here for the structure that you have created. I have purchased movies because of your reviews, movies that I would not have touched before. Also love hearing about featured theaters. Makes me want to check out the picks. And he capitalized hearing because he's like, you know, you're in the car. As Clara said last week, it doesn't translate to audio, but like Mark's saying here, he hears about it in the car, goes home and wants to check out the website. And speaking of that, we have Tom at BK to DA Future on Twitter. I screwed it up before when he joined me on Twitter. But anyways, he says, tell me about it. I had 3 box sets from Amazon and all 3 had season 2 discs, which were, he's basically talking to, I'll jump ahead here, to Steve George. They're having a conversation about his home, about Steve's home theater. Tom really enjoyed it, the pictures of it. And Steve says, nice one. Glad they're finally working. Okay, I'll get around to watching mine eventually. Oh yeah, that's right. They were talking about Game of Thrones, I believe. And Steve says, glad you both like the Cinema George, at Cinema George. Where did you find the pics? Just what's on here or on the Brightside HT website? And he replies, he's like, I saw the pics on Brightside HT. Great setup you've got, mate. And they go on and have a conversation. And I have the conversation posted up here on YouTube. But I wanted to bring this out because, yes, this is what people do. This is what you go to the website, you get ideas, and people have a conversation. I wasn't even in this until Steve said, did you see it at Brightside HT? And conversations like this go on all the time. I'm not that big. I'm not that huge. Our community isn't that huge. There's not a lot of people like us that are really into home theater the way we are. So it's great that people are meeting this way. That's what I wanted. That's what I enjoy. I enjoy seeing that, you know, if I get tagged and happen to know 2 people are talking about it because, and they found them through me, that's great. If not, that's great too. I don't care about the credit. I just want people having fun. And that's what it's about. And this isn't to bash Clara either at all. Not at all. Because Clara, if it wasn't for you, I have new ideas and all of that. And I love the criticism. I love the critiques. It motivates me. It drives me just as much as the compliments do. I can't say they drive me more. I can't say they drive me less, but just as much. And I'm running long. Here we go. All right, let's move on. So we'll move on to Lee Overstreet tweeted, I remember it on Laserdisc on my RCA 27-inch CRT through my Panasonic 100-watt channel rack stereo system with 12-inch 3-way speakers, 80s greatness. And he's replying to my tweet last week. And his last week I tweeted out, I can't wait. I think it was even on Friday. I couldn't wait to do this podcast. Maybe it was Saturday. Yes, it was on Saturday. And I was able to, I was so excited for this week's podcast. And I said, I got a need. That was my hint. I have a need for speed. And we're going to get to that in a minute. And then we have another guest here, Steve George. Wow, DJ, I had no idea that you were starting to cover video games as well. And he had a picture of the PlayStation video game Need for Speed 3. No, I am not covering video games as well. But that day he had a conversation there with Adriano and talking about 3D headsets. Pretty cool. Another conversation going on. Let's get to some emails before I get to the movie of the week. We have emails this week. Greatest scene. Carl emailed us all the greatest scene in Star Trek history, the motion picture. The greatest scene is, and it's that scene when they showed the Enterprise for the first time. And Carl actually even says, he's like, I went with my parents opening weekend. We went into Manhattan and had a 3-hour waited in a 3-hour line to see it. I felt like everyone on the subway that Sunday was going to see the same place. I still get a little emotional watching this scene. And that's great, because that's what these things are about. That's what started my love of theaters, is going to the movies to see Star Wars in 77 with my dad, and that memory. And this scene here of the Enterprise, he linked an article to it. And I personally, watching it nowadays, that's such a long scene. But there's a reason for that, because that was the first time anybody got to see the Enterprise on a big screen. You were at the movies and seeing something that it was a show from the 60s that was kind of cheesy at the time, and it was considered, and they leaned into that, and that's great. And then you see the movie and it was like, there it is in all its glory. And you watch it nowadays and you're like, wow, it's like 20 minutes long. Like, the whole thing's like wicked slow motion. My buddy and I, and he's a huge Star Trek fan, we reviewed this movie for our other podcast, and we laughed. We were having so much fun with this scene. It's like, especially it looks like an elevator, but it's not. They're in the shuttle to go over, and they have on the front of that, the shuttle, they have the image of them standing there, but it's like, they're in like 2D. Because of the technology back then, they just superimposed them on the front of it. Like, you were seeing them through the glass. That's kind of funny, but it is. I agree with Carl. It's like, it is an emotional thing, because the scene itself in a bubble, looking at it nowadays, it doesn't stand up at all. But what Carl is doing, and what we all do with these older movies, is we're remembering what we went through that day. Him waiting in lines, going on the subway with his parents, probably holding hands, doing all of that. It gets emotional, grabs you by the heartstrings. And then you sit there and you're like, you want that to last. You want that to be 20 minutes long. And that's what home theater is all about. We're rebuilding our entire theaters so that we can experience stuff like this over and over. Another one, we had another email this week from Gurinder, and he's like, just listen to this week's podcast. Was it inspired by our email conversation the other week? LOL. Absolutely was, Gurinder. Absolutely was. And I didn't say it in last week's podcast. I was remiss. I should have credited Gurinder for that last week. But I didn't. And what it was is, Gurinder and I were talking back and forth. He had seen it recently, and I did talk about it the week before. I mentioned it in the podcast that we had that conversation. And at the end of the podcast, I said, something inspired me, left that little hint. And of course, that was it. He says he also watched Dr. Sleep today. We both enjoyed it. It was different than what I expected. But to be honest, I saw The Shining as a teen a long time ago. I only remember a few details from it, although a lot of them came back while watching Dr. Sleep. One thing I learned from Dr. Sleep, yoga is evil. All right. Thanks, Gurinda. Really appreciate it. Glad you like Dr. Sleep. If you haven't heard my podcast on that, check back. Scroll back on the website. Oh, speaking of which, on the website, I have a new search feature. Woohoo! Look at me stepping into the 90s. You can just go on there, even on the, if you're on your phone, click the plus sign, scroll down, you'll see search, tap on that, type in whatever movie title you think I have, and it'll pull it up. I experimented with BVS. I typed BVS, Batman v Superman came up because I say BVS in the description, so it'll find anything there. So real easy to find. The website actually scrolls back a year. There are over a year's worth of podcasts on there now, I think. So you can check that out there. Dr. Sleep should be there. Let's see. What else do we have for emails this week? We got a bunch of them, but that's enough for now. Let's see. We don't have a feature theater. I'm trying to tease you out because you don't know what movie I'm doing yet. Unless you want to just fast forward and do that. That's knock yourselves out. No feature theater this week. That's okay. We'll get right to it. If you'd like to have your theater featured, you can email me a description, email me some pictures, and we'll feature it right here, and you'll see them all up on YouTube and everything like that. All right, let's get to it. Let's get to the, let's see. Let's get to the, do I want to tease you any more on this? All right, let's get to the topic. I've been wanting to do this movie for a very, very long time. I'm not even putting the picture up on YouTube yet, so you can't even fast forward to see that. So I've been wanting to do this movie a long time. Speed came out in 4K, and I was lucky enough to get an early version. I watched it back on last Saturday, and I was not impressed. It's not horrible. It's not a bad cut. It's just not up to the standards of what I was hoping for when it comes to 4K and the DTS track on that. It actually, the DTS track, I've come to find out since then, I went all through the Speed 4K disc, compared it on the Zapiti, compared it on the disc, and I'll be honest with you, I thought this is another case where I thought my Zapiti was failing. Because what I do is I'll go and I'll put these movies as soon as I get them, I put them onto the Zapiti and I want to watch them there. And if they don't stand up, I'll compare them to the disc and make sure that, you know, because I know my disc, my Panasonic 820, that's the standard setter right there. And the Zapiti lived up to it. And I just wasn't impressed. But that's not to say it isn't a good disc. It's a good disc. But I didn't really feel there was that big of an upgrade over the standard, the Blu-ray. And I AB'd back and forth. I did a lot of work on Speed. I wanted to review it for the podcast, but I just couldn't because I couldn't really talk with that much excitement about it because I didn't find the scenes to look that much better. I didn't even scrolling through since I made the decision to, shift over to this movie that I'm going to review. When I made that decision, I've since looked back and I've seen people put ABs up and they, you know, they'll do the little swipes where you see the images and there is a difference. But it's not that dramatic. And the soundtrack is the exact same soundtrack from the Blu-ray. And it sounds the same. And it sounds relatively flat compared to Need for Speed on Blu-ray from 2014, the Aaron Paul movie. Yes, Steve George, you were so close when you said doing a video game. This is what I've been wanting to do. I've wanted to do this movie for so long. And what was funny is I did a lot of work on Speed. And I went, like I said, A-B-ing that back and forth and listening and looking for details that would separate the Blu-ray from the 4K. And it just wasn't that big of a jump. And then at the end of all this, this was like 11:30, 12 o'clock at night on Saturday. I was like, you know what? I haven't seen Need for Speed in a while. I pulled that up. That's only on Blu-ray. Pull that up on the Zapiti. And the images, and I'm going to get to it in the opening when I talk about when the popcorn's popping. I already did my review on it, but I say like those images, that opening scene, and it's not this dramatic opening scene at all, but it's just the colors. They just popped off the page. And then when you get into some of the racing scenes, the dynamics of the sound, the bass is so much deeper. The highs are there's such better range. So disappointing. My son had a great point. he listened to one really quickly with me. But he's like, well, yeah, that's the difference from a movie made in the 90s as opposed to a movie made in 2014, the technology. But a 4K should have that bump. And that's why if you're going to put out a 4K and it doesn't come with an Atmos track, maybe beware. You know, you're not getting the big bump that you're going to get. And now I'm not, that doesn't mean don't buy the 4K that at all of speed. I bought it. I recommend it. I just couldn't review it with the enthusiasm that I'm reviewing Need for Speed. This movie has it all. I have a little story that I'm going to tell you in a second after I play the trailer, but such a good time, such a good time. So without further ado, let's get into that. Let's play that trailer and let's have some fun.
I spent 2 years thinking about one moment. He set me up. In our world, you always go back. He just left him there. That's what I can't forgive.
That's my boy.
Yo, T, I'm really happy you're home.
Boys, we miss you, brother.
It's time to celebrate.
Call up some females. Do you know any pretty ones?
You like your mama?
What are you thinking, Toby?
This could put him away for life. It's time we make him pay. But first, we're gonna need a fast car.
Y'all ready?
We're doing this.
Racing is an art. Revenge will surely come. But racing with passion, that's high art. And I think that's Toby Marshall driving the chariot of the gods.
I'm willing to give $6 million to anyone who puts a stop to him.
We'll settle this behind the wheel.
APB out for your arrest in 10 states. Maybe we should rethink the plan.
I'm never gonna stop.
Hook up!
You are out of your mind. I love it.
Out of your mind. I love it. I love that. I love the trailer. I love this movie. I've wanted to do this movie for a long time, but things get away from you and, you know, or other things pop up and your focus goes elsewhere. At least it does for me. But this movie, it needs a 4K. I would love to hear this in Atmos, but the DTS Master Audio track on this is fantastic. When I bought quick little story, we'll go spoiler free for a few minutes here before we get into the scenes, and there are tons of them. But when I bought, when I got this movie on Blu-ray, my son and I watched it. At the time, I had an Onkyo receiver. It was basically one of the first, not basically, it was one of the first Atmos-enabled receivers. It didn't have DTS:X. DTS:X didn't exist at the time. Early adopter, got the first Onkyo that had the Atmos, bought that, loved it, watched this movie on it. And this has no Atmos on it, obviously. DTS, you know, master audio track, and up convert it, whatever you have to do at the time, sounded fantastic. When I bought my new receiver, I bought the Denon with the DTS:X on it. And the upgrade going from the Onkyo to this Denon, it was night and day. So I had a guy come out to the house and tell me, we need, you know, you need to, all you need to do is upgrade to this receiver here. And I have an Emotiva 5-channel amp that I was using to run my room on the Onkyo because the Onkyo didn't have enough amplifiers to run the 11 channels that I wanted to run. He said, get rid of the amp. I still have it. I didn't get rid of it. He goes, all you're going to need is this Denon. So I went with my Denon. And it was obviously with the Odyssey EQ and everything like that. It was night and day. This was one of those instances where my wife thought I upgraded my projector. And at the time I hadn't, because it sounded so much better. The upgrade there was fantastic. So as soon as we got this Denon in, I was like, I said to my son, I'm like, we need to see this movie, Need for Speed, with the new receiver. And it delivers on all accounts. I think that this picture looks really good for a Blu-ray. It deserves the 4K with the HDR because there are so many great colors in this between all of the cars, some of the scenery. The picture is fantastic. You're not going to be disappointed. Granted, between my Panasonic 820, the Zapiti, and my Sony projector itself, there's some up converting going on here because if you're not running 4K, it's going to try to, all three of those are going to try to do something. Which one you pick, it looks fantastic. I am up converting the sound. The soundtrack on this, like I said, just the master audio, no DTS:X, no Atmos. But the up converting to the DTS Neural X sounds awesome. I'm going to mention them. There are some pans that go right up over your head. So can you imagine this in Atmos or in DTS:X? The bass in this movie is unreal. Unreal. I've said it a lot. I've already done all of the scenes out. I had over 60 scenes stamped. And of course, some of them are seconds apart. So when I go back and do it, it's like, we're talking about races. This is a video game movie that is just, it embraces all of that, but it has a fantastic story as well. Very heartfelt story. I wind up my entire review on a very heartfelt moment at the end of the movie. But the guy gets the girl. It's a great, great movie. You got it all. If you love cars and you love to hear those engines roar, this is the movie for you. If you haven't heard it, it beats out Speed. It beats out the 4K version of Speed. I was going to do that this week. Didn't work out. I just couldn't do it. So without further ado, let's get that popcorn popping and let's get into this movie. It's so much fun. There's so much to get into. If you love cars, you love engines, you love it all, you love Speed, let's get in it because I've got the need for Speed. The opening of this one, very subtle, but really nice. Great sense of bass here. Some nice thumps. The image is really, really nice. First off, with the sound, like I said, very subtle. But if the opening credits, when you have the title page, Need for Speed, and how things, it sounds like a train almost is swooshing from left to right. But then the logo comes up, the Need for Speed logo comes up, and you get that nice little pan from left to right that goes along with it. And like I said, there's some nice bass thumps in there. But then it progresses on, and when it opens up and you're looking down the road at Marshall Motors here, and you see that little, I think it's a Ford Explorer coming down the street, heavy Ford sponsorship here, but in this movie that is. And beautiful colors, though. Very vibrant, especially compared to Speed. I really thought this movie really just jumped off the page, off the screen. And as you're looking, even at this opening scene, it was very stunning to me. The green trees, even this opening scene here with the pickup truck off to the left side of the screen, and you look at the orange in their lights and the reflectors, it just everything, the red that's in the gas pumps, just it, the stonework on the front of Marshall Motors, and how it just everything, the detail just really jumped off the page as the screen. I don't know why I keep saying page. Oh, I don't know, because I'm in the middle of doing a comics podcast. I'm doing this podcast. So jumping off the screen here, and then very nice pan as that Ford Explorer is making its way down the road. And as it goes off screen, off to your right, it pans to the rear of the room. Really, really nice opening. Very, very subtle, very vibrant with great colors. Just a little hint of what's to come. This movie, I love this movie. Moving on to 2 minutes and 36 seconds, Daryl. I call this Daryl because Daryl's the caller that's calling in to Michael Keaton's what looks like a podcast, I guess. But yeah, Daryl won't let him speak. But if you listen as this scene progresses on, Daryl starts towards the front of the room, but then he makes his way to the back of the room while you hear Michael Keaton over him yelling at him, Daryl, Daryl, and he yells at him. But Daryl's voice ends up behind you like it's coming from the speakers in that room that Michael Keaton is in. Then at 4:04, we get a nice nod to Bullet from 1968, I believe. And of course, to Steve McQueen. They have a shot of the green Mustang coming down the hill and then turning to the, well, panning off to the right. But then they have the close up of Steve McQueen. He's obscured by the swing set, but that's okay. It's still tons of nods to, including Speed in this movie. I think I get to that. I think I have it in my notes somewhere. But yeah, so at nod to all of the faster movies. I'm not sure Fast and the Furious was given a nod in this or not. But here's the one for Bullet at 4:04. And then at 4:35, we get the nice engine revs. Pay attention to these throughout this movie. There's a really good pan. This one here is at 4:35 with the GTO. When Toby's pulling up to the drive-in, and great soundtrack too. This is very reminiscent. Maybe this was the nod to Fast and the Furious, because you've just got everybody standing around waiting for the big race. Everybody's standing by their cars. You've got the girls, you got the music. It's just, I mean, I really like the drive-in atmosphere as well. Slight nod to Twister? Nah, I don't think so. But the soundtrack really fills the room with this scene. But yeah, that engine revs. So wherever, I mean, the engines sound fantastic all the way through this movie. The bass feels great. I mean, each different engine throughout the movie, you can feel the difference. The bass, if it's a high revving engine, if it's a, you know, a V8 or a V12, you hear the difference in all of the engines. But what I'm talking about here is the pans, one of my favorites, and how the scenes are set up, that like when you're looking at the car from above, it'll sound a certain way. But then here, when they're looking at Toby, he's in the driver's seat, you're looking through the driver's side window, but it sounds like the engine is off to the left side off screen there, but still nice and loud. And as it pans around, the sound of the engine pans around with it. Really, really cool. Next, we have a nice jump cut followed by a nice pan as well. At 7:48, I labeled this train. So we jump away, jump cut right from the drive-in to a shot of a train going over an overpass, a train overpass. And this is the sound that we had in the opening scene of the train going by. And now it's going from right to left. The train is going by. Nice bass here. Fills your room. And then the camera pans down underneath the overpass, under the train. And we go down to that nice green tunnel underneath, which is really, really cool looking. Really nice perspective view here, and just the green with the nice colors at the end of the tunnel, really cool looking, and very, again, more vibrant color, looks really, really nice. But I really like the sound of the train going up over your head. It pans from, you know, it's going across the front of your room, but then as the camera pans down underneath to the tunnel, you get that the sound slowly moves up appropriately with it. Really, really cool. Another nice nod coming up here at 8:35. Call Me Maverick. Where this movie got its title from. They borrowed it from the Top Gun. I've got a need for speed. And that's where they came up with the Maverick. It was Benny, I believe his name is. I always know him as Maverick because he keeps asking to be called Maverick. And by the end of the movie, they're just calling him Maverick because he's up in the helicopters, the planes, whatever. But this is pretty cool here. At 8:35, we get the Call Me Maverick. Then we go back down onto the ground and we see the cars. We get more cars, more revving engines. Just awesome, awesome sound. You have Pete Chevelle. You hear that. You hear the GTO again. Toby's GTO as they're coming up on that. You can actually smell, like I could actually smell like the engine. It was like my head was under the hood. And just being around cars like this, and you just know that smell. So it's like when you're coming up on Toby's face at 8:51, and that focus that he has, and just the sound of the motor right in front of him is just everything combined in your room. The bass, you can feel it in your chest. You can feel the engine rumbling. Then at 9:30, you really, really get that focus as Toby's looking, and you get, which comes up later in the movie as he's racing and all the different racing scenes when he sees that road focus, when he looks down the road. And it's just that focus, as the train's going by you at 9:30, and you get, again, that great focus, but everything seems to slow down and you really hear like the bass in the room, the walls are vibrating and rattling and you're feeling it under your seat. It's just awesome, awesome scene. We're only 9 minutes into the 9.5 minutes into this movie. And it's just your room is alive. And it's if you're not into cars, you're probably not going to like this movie very much. If you're not into video games, I mean, there's a ton of nods all the way through here to the video games, all the graphics that they're doing, the shots that they show. We're about to get into the street race here and you really feel it coming up in this. Just an awesome movie. Like I said, we're 9 minutes into this thing and we haven't even gotten to all of the great fun that's about to come up. Oh, and listen, at exactly 9:31, listen to that heartbeat as the train is coming up on the right-hand side of the cars, of the room, everything. The bass, the sound goes down. It's almost like you can hear Toby's blood going through his veins, that boom, boom, boom. It's an insane amount of bass at a really low, low level. And, oh, by the way, I forgot, even streaming, renting this on iTunes, great example of this isn't even close. The iTunes version here, it's you barely even get any of that. When I was A-B-ing this scene in particular, the scene, I thought I had my receiver on mute. No lie, I thought it was on mute. I had to double check it. I hit my mute button on my Harmony remote. Now extinct, my Harmony remote, I hit the mute button and the thing, it went even softer. I was like, you've got to be kidding me. I've never seen it that bad, but that's the DTS Master Audio on the disc. That is, it just blows away what you're going to get through streaming. And I'm streaming through Apple TV, my 4K, not the newest 4K, but it just didn't work out. So I can't recommend renting this movie to get the full effect. I don't know what the cost is. Maybe I'll check that out. Maybe by the end of the podcast, I'll know that. I don't know. Maybe I've already told you because I record the beginning and at the end of everything. So who knows? But anyways, all right, let's move along. At 9:54, we have Go. This is, oh boy, this is where they start the race. You have the train car is going down the right side, but the camera gets inside the train. You're looking at the cars, listening to those engines, listening to that train, the high-pitched noise of the train on the tracks, the ting ting. You have that going on. You have all the different car engines. When they get inside the cars for a second, like you'll go inside to see Toby or somebody, listen to the shifting. You can even hear the deep... You know, shift the sound, the when he shifts gears. It just sounds so, there's so much detail, there's so much bass, there's so much highs. I mean, the entire room is engaged for this entire race. And the screeching tires when they come up, it's a BMW, I believe, that doesn't make it to the train tracks in time, and he has to, you know, jam on the brakes. But you have, like, when the cars that do make it through, there's a turn right after the tracks, and they have the screeching tires go around there, and they pan from center to right, and then the cars take off. It's unbelievable. Just that's what this movie's going to be. I can't wait till you guys get to the Mustang. I love that Mustang. So let's keep this thing moving, and we'll jump ahead to 1347. I think this is a little homage to Speed as well. Toby comes flying around the corner, and he hits a shopping cart this time, and the trash or the cans go flying everywhere. Very similar to Speed when Sandra Bullock hit the baby carriage and the cans go flying everywhere. But okay, moving along. 1347, we have tunnel vision, and I call this tunnel vision because Toby's getting that focus again, and now he's in the tunnel, and he's seeing the finish line at the end, and he just gets that tunnel vision, that focus. But the sound in the room, we go back down into that, you know, blood going through the veins, low bass, the walls are cracking, everything is going on, and it's like all of the sound just comes down and even focuses heavily on that bass. It just boom, 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 boom. And then it all speeds up right as he finishes the line. Then the sound comes back down again. You get the nice little, you know, score to go along with it. Toby wins the race. We're all happy. But that entire race, I mean, you can go through that. The pans, the left to right, right to left, the screeching tires, everything going on there. It's just like I said, awesome movie. I can't recommend this movie enough. Obviously, if you're listening to this part, you've probably already seen it, but maybe not, because it's not really any spoilers in this. It's a racing movie. So, you know, the good guy wins at the end. Big, big surprise. All right, moving on. At 1537, let's get into a little bit more of the nuances of this movie, some of the details that I like. And this is the meeting where Toby's at the shop. Dino shows up in the Mercedes. That's a nice sound when he pulls up, of course. All the guys are there, and they're inside, you know, Marshall Motors. They're in the shop area, and there's a slight echo to their voice. But listen to the sounds of, like, the nighttime. That there's crickets outside. You can hear that. But also, as this scene plays out, listen to the score and how the score moves from the front of the room and then just hovers over you, and at times it felt like it was actually moving around your room. It was really nice. But there's a lot of details here. You can hear the sounds of the guys moving in the background as the cameras pan around and look at different, you know, different angles of this scene. A lot of detail throughout this movie. But that's not why we're here. We're here for speed. We're here for sound. And you know I'm a sucker for a great entrance, like I said in last week's podcast. And here is another example of a great entrance, a great introduction at 20 minutes, 45 seconds. That timestamp is going to bring you right into New York City, looking at the New York City skyline. But don't be afraid. It is an awesome, awesome entrance, introduction of the Mustang, the Carroll Shelby's final Mustang. This GT500, I believe that's what it is an unbelievable introduction here. So they start off right from the New York City skyline. You move in, and they're using lasers to trace the car. But before that, they have the horses, the Mustangs, and they're galloping along. So your room is totally alive with bass. The horses are galloping. You can hear them. You can hear the engine revving. The entire scene, the ambience in your room, you feel like you're there. You feel the crowd. You feel the bass. You feel the engine. The scene moves along, and it starts tracing all around the car with the lasers. And first, it does the outline of the car. That looks fantastic. Can you imagine this in 4K with HDR? I hope this movie gets that someday. I hope it gets the recognition it deserves, because the imagery, the colors, the vibrancy, this is just a Blu-ray, obviously being upconverted by the Zapiti, by my Blu-ray player, by the Sony, you know, projector. Everything, it's just, it looks so good. It blew away Speed for me, to be honest with you. I didn't intend to do this, but it just, flipping this on right after watching Speed, it just blew it away. But anyways, back to the Mustang and this introduction. So they're tracing it with lasers here, and it starts, like I said, it's at 2045, and the introduction lasts all the way to 2145. So you get a beautiful 1 minute introduction of this car, and those lasers are tracing it around because it's covered in a sheet, which looks fantastic. The imagery looks fantastic, but pay attention to the lasers, how they come down the front. They're tracing all the nice body lines on the car, the grills. But one of the last things it traces as it comes to the front and the camera goes to the front, all the while your room is still alive with the revving engine, the horse, everything going on. But the last thing it traces is that Mustang logo at the center of the car on the grill, right between the two fog lights. You can't see it there at first. It's there, but it's just like a blacked out Mustang. But then that line, the laser line, goes around it, and it looks fantastic. Then we get the great presentation of the car when the sheet comes off the car, the lights come on, and you see this gorgeous thing. And notice right away, it doesn't have mirrors. It has those little black, those are the cameras, because the mirrors are inside. We'll see those later on the heads up display. But what an introduction. Absolutely blew me away. I want this car. I know. So I'm at 13 Patreon supporters. So if I could get about a million more, maybe I could buy this car. So come on, people. All right, let's move this thing along. I've talked enough about this introduction. But actually, this introduction isn't over yet. We're not done. We still get to see the car do the 230 miles an hour. And if you jump ahead to 26 minutes and 17 seconds, you can miss out on all the denim showcase that Toby puts on, wearing a denim shirt and a jean jacket on top of it. Pretty funny. Check that out. But anyways, they have their old little introduction thing, but then we get a jump scene at 26:17, 230 miles an hour. And that's where we have Toby is out on the track. He's got the car. He's going to hit the 230. Obviously, we see that the jump scene, like I said, brings you right to the car coming at you from left to right at the front. Or very, very slight pan there, because the sound is growing. But listen to your room here and your sub or subs, preferably for multiple people in the room. The bass, the ground rumbling underneath the car that you can feel. I could feel it on my feet. Yes, I'm on a riser, which I think is a benefit. My riser doesn't actually make any noise, but it puts the feel in there that maybe I wouldn't be getting that if I was on a concrete floor. So it get no extra sound out of it. I don't feel any or hear any rattling out of my riser. Well built by my brother-in-law, by the way. But the bass in the room, between the engine and the ground rumble and the car and the shifting. And then we go right inside the car here. And this is where you get a good example. If you're looking on YouTube, you can see that the dashboard, the heads up display with the two mirrors on either side of the Speed. But then if you look out the window here, you can see that where the rear view mirror would be, the outside on the driver's side, it's actually the camera. That's where the camera is for your rear view mirror. But I have a screenshot of him doing the 155. Later on, he does hit 234 in the car. But the sound of him screeching around the corners, then re-accelerating, they have a bunch of nice pans, a la Days of Thunder, a la Drive or Driven, or Need for, this is Need for Speed, or, you know, Fast and the Furious, the car coming at you and whizzing by and going down the left side or the right side. But the bass here in this DTS track is just so good. And it really sounds like a motor is sitting in front of you. Obviously, this here, the scene I have up right now is a, like, this is bringing you into the video game, bringing you into that first person driver where you're going down the track. I mean, it's so good. And then another scene I have here is where the car is coming at you and it's going to whiz down the left side of your room. All of this is at the beginning. It's like a 30, 40 second scene of the car racing around the track, hitting that 234 miles per hour. Really, really cool. If you weren't sure you were in a video game movie, this next scene pretty much locks it down. We get the three Koenigsegg Agera R's in three different garage bays, and it's obviously this, I mean, gorgeous looking cars, a red one, a silver one, a white one. We're going to have a race. But quickly, before we get to all of get to that race and basically this, what this movie is all about, we get the nice little one of my favorite things. We get a nice little pan. So Dino brings the box out with the keys to the Agera's in it. Toby takes his key, Pete takes his key, and as they each take their key, it does that really cool sound, the boom, and your whole it goes through your room because the cars are inside the garage, so it's almost like they're echoing the sound around your room like it's in the garage. That was really nice. Each of Toby's and Pete's key, when the beep went off, that sounded cool. But check out the sound when Dino walks into the garage and he's walking to the right side of your room, right side of the screen. He's going off screen and he beeps his car, which is off to the right hand side of your room. And boom, on the right hand side of your room, that's where you get the little sound. Huh? Huh? I love that stuff. And from the garage, we jump. Well, it's not really much of a jump. We move slowly to 3029 to get a nice real car, nice car pan of all three Agera's going down from the right rear of your room to the right front of your room. Just the sound of those cars. You don't hear that in this country. They are an incredible sounding vehicle, you know, high pitched, high whining, you know, really nice sound with some nice bass rumble coming by you as well. And this entire, you know, three car race on the back roads, we get more of that great bass rumble from the road noise coming up through your seats. You get some nice little, you know, intersections. There's an accident with a nice bass punch in that. The cars whizzing by on one side and then on the other. Great pans back and forth. At 3127, we get an homage to Smokey and the Bandit, the Firebird. We see that. And then the cars scream by him from front right to right rear of the room. Just boom, 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 right by you all the way down. And this whole race scene, for the first half of it, I would say, there's like no music, I believe. No soundtrack, no score behind it. And then after they shift in, I think Toby goes to the other side of the road, we get a little bit of a score, but you could still, the cars are very prominent. But I liked how early on it was just the cars. That's all you really had to hear, and that's all you wanted to hear. But then the score came in towards the end of the race. Toby's on the wrong side of the road. Cars are whizzing by left and right. And then he comes back to the other side, of course. And we're getting close to the finish. And this is where Dino comes up and he taps Pete's bumper on the rear, sends Pete into a spin. And when he first goes into that spin, the sound is spinning around your room. I think it's counterclockwise. It is, you know, like all the way around your room. And then we go into that slow motion sound again, the whoa, and all the sounds are there. The sounds of the car crashing, the sounds of it hitting the impacts and the bass. It's like full on bass, but we just, the high pitched noises are like in the slow motion mode. So we have that. That's really cool. And then right from there at 3451, this year I saw or heard this in the audio commentary a few years ago when I watched. I didn't watch the audio commentary this time around, But this scene here is where what makes me really enjoy this movie more so than even the Fast and Furious franchise or some of the, even like Driven with Stallone. This here was done with, they were all practical effects for the most part. And if I highly recommend the audio commentary, and this scene here actually reminded me of it. So I was like, oh, I got to timestamp that. So, Toby, who is played by Aaron Paul, skids to a stop here and he's coming right at the camera. And then he whips the back end around the driver's side around towards the camera and he's skidding at the camera sideways. He did that. Aaron Paul did that. And he actually, when you watch this scene, he had to maneuver the car and act horrified because of what happened to Pete. So, and the camera comes right in on his face and he pulls up right to the camera, which is, it's a really cool scene. They talked about it in, I believe it was the audio commentary that I heard where they said that he actually had to do that. So, like I said, this movie, it's a little bit more grounded as you can be by racing three Agueras on a country road at 100, 200 miles an hour. But that's what I really liked about this movie. And this scene here at 34:51, that skid to a stop, that's real. So he did that. So it's pretty cool. Really cool. All right, we're going to skip ahead here and skip over Pete's funeral and Toby doing time and everything like that. And we're going to go right to 39:53. I labeled this, it's here. The Mustang is here. So Toby asked if he could have the Mustang to race the De Leon. And it's showing up at the shop. And this is it. It's, you can hear it you can hear it coming up as Toby is talking to Benny in the garage, and it's coming up on the right side of your room, and it's very soft because it's off in the distance, and as it's pulling up, it gets louder and louder, but you're in the garage. The camera is in the garage, so you get that nice bass as the engine pulls up to the open garage door, and it just filling your room with that really, really nice bass. The only thing that would have made this scene cooler is if when she shut off the engine, Julia, I think her name is, she's driving the car up. And when she shut it off, if you got that little boom, boom that we got in District 9, but we're not in the car, so you wouldn't feel it that way. So I guess I'm asking for a little bit too much here. But really, really nice sound there at 39:53. At 43:26, what's a dollar? And the Mustang revving its engine as it accelerates towards an off-ramp. And a strong, strong rev on the left side of your room. And then it goes, pans to the center and slightly to the right as it pulls away. And the sound of the engine actually pulls away. Like, the sound goes away from you. Really, really cool at 43:26. Then at 44:24, now Toby's racing, Benny's up, Maverick that is up in the sky telling him where to go, and now he's going the wrong way down the road. And I labeled this one, he's moving, baby. I said 44:24, I think Benny actually says that, he's like, you're moving, baby, or whatever. But he's weaving in and out of traffic, and you have that such a strong bassy sound of that, you know, the car, but then you have the, all of the cars going by, whizzing by on either side. I thought this was especially loud here where he was going against traffic, but this entire scene where he's off the highway now and he's trying to lose the cops and just the, there's a lot going on in this scene. This is just one glimpse of it at 44:24. And then at 45:12, we have the homage to Speed, aforementioned Speed. And they go head on with a bus. The only thing that would have been better here is if the bus was actually labeled 2525, which is the same bus label as in Speed. That would have been pretty funny. But they go head on with the bus. And of course, even Benny says in the movie, he says,
looks like a scene out of Speed down there.
So that's pretty cool. So they're even, I mean, they leaned right into it on that one. And then coming up after that, we have one of my favorite scenes. I gave this one three boxes of popcorn. Oh, I haven't even said boxes of popcorn. I'm so excited about this movie. I haven't even said boxes of popcorn. Previous scenes have boxes of popcorn, too. I forgot to even mention them. I think this is the first time I'm mentioning it. So at 51:26, go to the window. Remy Malek is working a desk job here, and they need his assistance. They need him back on the team. So they give him a call, tell him to go to the window, and they, you know, he goes up to the window, and when he steps into, you can hear the car through the window. You can hear that bass. Talk about deep and throaty. It's just, but that scene there when he's just walking up to the glass and you haven't even seen the car yet. He's just walking up to the glass, and that the way that sounds in your room is really quite unique and really cool. I just really loved how deep it was, how much you could feel it. Then he moves up to the window, looks down. You can hear the car even more. Then we go down on the sidewalk and we see the side of the car. And he's just revving the engine. Toby's just revving it and revving it. And obviously, it's all part of the plan. They need to get Remy Malek's assistance. And they want him to hear it. They want him to see it. He's about to engage with the cop. And this is what this entire scene from this part here where he's talking to the cop.
That's your car, son?
No. Are you crazy? You know how expensive this car is?
Why don't you just take it around the corner?
It's hysterical.
Did you see how fast I was going? It must have been like 160 on that. On that off ramp. I mean, you should drive this car. I mean, it's amazing.
Officer,
it's insane.
I am so sorry. My boyfriend was showing off his
train. It's hysterical. It's a riot. It's so funny because he's just setting everything up so that he can race this cop and go around the street. That way, Remy Malek can see, I can't remember Remy Malek's character's name, but he can see everything and. Just but the sounds here too, the dialogue is hysterical. The sounds of the car racing, and we're about to get into another racing, street racing scene here. And all the while, plus Remy Malek then takes off and goes, like, gets undressed. I mean, it's a hysterical scene, but it's a great sounding scene as well. And that's why I gave it 3 boxes of popcorn, because it just, the entire scene, the hysterics of it. But then we also get the racing through the streets part. And for instance, the grasshopper at 58:55, they call it the grasshopper. He's going to use it's not even a median. It's like the grass on the side where you would, it would be a ramp or something, but there's no ramp. He just goes right up the grass. And check out the bass at the launch when it first takes off. Really, really nice at 58:55. Nice deep bass there at 107. I mean, that entire racing scene is fantastic. Just check that out. 3 boxes of popcorn. Start at 51:26. Go through that. But then let's jump to 107:15, and we get a nice computer screen pan with the sound of Michael Keaton's voice playing, and everybody's listening to him do his podcast and or whatever it is, and his voice coming through this computer screen. This guy's listening to the bounty that Dino just put out, and you hear Michael Keaton's voice pan off to the right side of the room as the computer screen goes off to the right side of the room. I thought that was really cool. That's a lot of fun. You know how much I love a good pan. At 1:15:14, jump. So this scene here is Julia's got to escape from the state trooper, and she's at a window, and you hear the state trooper on the right side of your room, but then she goes out on the ledge, and you can hear the Mustang coming in the distance. You can hear the trooper on the right. He's still banging, trying to get in at one point. You can hear the Mustang coming on the left in the distance, and then the Mustang pulls up, and it comes front and center to your screen, and the sound, I mean, it just gets deeper. You have that deep, throaty engine noise. Really, really cool scene at 1:15:14. Little bit, some good dynamics going on there. Again, not really getting it. Seems relatively flat if you rent this or watch it on iTunes for the $3.99, do not buy it, please. Do not buy this on iTunes. Buy the for the price you'd pay on iTunes. You could probably pick this up in a dollar bin someplace. I highly recommend the movie itself, the Blu-ray. So check that out. Do not rent this because it's completely flat compared to what you're going to get here with the Blu-ray. Moving to 1-18-24, they get rear-ended because the bounty's out on them. And you got these three big pickup trucks coming at them. And I really like this scene. I gave this one box of popcorn. The sound isn't like it tremendously. I wouldn't give it three. I almost did give it three because I like this part of the story here. And I mean, this fantastic bass in this scene. You've got the nice bass revving engines. You've got the trucks coming. You've got the impact from the rear ending. Nice bass there. But what I liked is the story part, and it's really quick. So Julia's driving here, and she's going head on with two vehicles. And she chooses the Hummer. And she goes, that's called a pavement prowler. And she goes, it's a short car with a lift kit made to make up for his inferiority complex. And the first time I saw this movie, I thought she was talking about, like, I'm going to go under this thing and it's going to go up and over us. So we have a better shot of that happening here. And upon second, third, fourth, fifth viewings, I realized she doesn't intend to collide with this vehicle because the other vehicle actually has a better shot of going up and over the Mustang. She's going at the guy that has the inferiority complex, and she knows he's going to blink in a game of chicken. He feels inferior. So that's why she picked him. It's all psychological, and I thought that was fantastic. I mean, let's ignore the fact that what if it's not his car and he doesn't have an inferiority complex and he just borrowed somebody's Hummer to do this? You know, I don't know. She took a gamble and she won. But then we get at, because she wins, we get a really nice flip here at 1 hour, 19 minutes and 20 seconds. The Hummer swerves, goes right into the rock on the side, flips up and over the vehicle. You see Toby actually duck inside of the vehicle. He ducks down and looks up over his, to the way you're seeing it on the screen. He's looking up over to the right. So the sound actually goes up and over as well. It's really nice. And the car, the Hummer, lands behind you. Really, really well done scene here for sound, for everything, because you get the collision of it hitting the wall. And then the sound, of course, we go to slow motion again, but it goes up and over you in your room. Really, really cool. Moving on from here to this next scene. This scene's about the picture and the view that they get. So the car has just been picked up by the helicopter. Benny shows up and they hitch up the car and they pull it up and they're hanging like kind of upside down looking at the ground. But the view that you get here, I don't talk often about the picture on a standard Blu-ray. Usually we like to talk about the HDR and the 4K and how brilliant everything looks. But here, I thought this movie, like I said at the beginning, it looks so good. It's very vibrant. And the views here that they show, one, they're staring into each other's eyes at one point, and the clarity that you had there and the screaming and the yelling because she's so upset that they're hanging upside down. But looking through the windshield at the ground and seeing the blue stripes on the hood of the car and in contrast to the nice greens on the ground. And then they pan out later on, they show you the landscape. And I've been out to Moab for mountain biking. I've seen this stuff firsthand. I love the red rock and, you know, it's called slick rock or something, but it's actually not. It's very porous. That's why it's so great for mountain biking. It's like riding on a hard sponge. It's got that texture, but the sponge, it's not squishy like a sponge, but anyways, the landscape, everything looks so nice in this shot here. It does throughout the movie. The picture in this movie with the brilliant looking cars and everything, we're going to see six cars coming up in a second, but I just thought I'd mention the picture here for a second. So, but a movie like this would not be complete without a jet flyby. So we get one of those at 1:24:44. We get the jet flyby. First, the jets fly by from right to left, right across your screen. They're on the salt flats, and they're coming to take Benny away. He's got to go to jail. He kind of stole a helicopter, I guess. Military helicopter, of all things. But they come in. But then we go inside the helicopter with Benny, and we can see it come down the left side of the room first. Jet screeches by from the left rear to the front, and then very quickly, like that, it goes from the right rear to the front. So you get a whoosh, 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 all the way down both sides of your room. Really nice effect there. That's at 1:24:44. And then jumping ahead to 1:29:57. Bye-bye to the Mustang. It's called Wrecked. I was upset the first time I heard this, saw this movie. I didn't want that car to get wrecked. It was like, this to me was like a dog getting killed in a movie. I felt bad for the car. I felt bad for them. I wanted to see this car race in the De Leon. I was really upset. I'm hoping maybe they'll make a sequel and they'll bring the car back, because this car deserved to be in the De Leon. And of course, somebody's out for the bounty, and the guy's in a big, you know, wrecker, big flatbed, actually. And he just crashes right into, what an impact. You felt it too. Boom, right in your chest. Really, really nice. The glass shattering. We get the little bit of slow motion there, but really, really nice impact there. And then, really cool, getting into the video game a bit here at 1:41:20. Toby's pulling up to the race. He's got his Agarra, the Agarra that Dino used to kill Pete. And he pulls up, but you're inside the car at the 1:41:20 mark. You're in the car. You have that video game first person feel, and he's revving the engine as he pulls up. And, it's like, boom, but it's behind you, which is where the motor is in an Agarra, mid-engine car. And it's sitting behind him, and he pulls up. It really, really nice sound there. And from here, we get another one of my favorite scenes of the movie. At 1:42:44, we get all six cars revving. But then we go into Toby's focus again, and everything slows down. Wow, the bass here is just unreal. Probably my favorite part of the favorite bass in all of the movie in this scene here. It's just really, really, I guess it's a combination of the cars. It's his focus. But then they come right out of it. And I think it's at 1:43:15. I'm not really sure on that. It's like right around there. But when they come out of his focus, and then you get the clarity of all of that sound, of all six cars. What do we have? A Bugatti Veyron. We have a Lamborghini Elemento. We have a Saline S7. Oh, what a McLaren P1. Tons of cars. Then Toby's car. You have the Agarra, awesome. All of these cars going. I'm forgetting one. What's the other one? Hang on a sec. Oh, the GTA Spano. Yeah, I haven't played the video game in a while, but most of these cars we wouldn't even know of if it wasn't for the video game, especially the McLaren. Not the McLaren. I'm sorry. I worked on a McLaren. Did I ever tell you that story? The Saline S7, that thing, when I saw that in a video game, I was like, what the hell is that? I want to say it's a Ford, too. But unbelievable listening to all these cars. But when they come out of Toby's focus on this, and you get, so it's weird, because when we're in his focus, it's just all bass, and it feels like it's all mushed together, but it's really loud, really, I mean, very vibrant in the room, very, very, like shaking everything. But then when you come out of it, there's a clarity there, and it's almost like you can hear each of the six cars. Unreal scene. 1:42:44. And that's just the start. We're just starting the race here, and this is where it really takes off from here on out. I mean, this is the culmination of the entire movie, the De Leon. We're getting the race, and all six cars take off, and it's awesome. Bunch of scenes all the way through here. I could end the podcast right now and just tell you, listen to the race It's that's how good everything is. We have a few things I want to go over quickly. At 1 hour and 45 minutes, we have a helicopter, state trooper helicopter, a CHP in the road, and really nice pan as a helicopter takes off. That's pretty cool. Right up over your head because he's trying to block the road. I don't get what the point is if you're just going to stay there and then just get out of the way. But hey, it's a movie, right? So that's at 1 hour, 45 minutes and 50 seconds. The next one after that is at 1 hour, 46 minutes, 54 seconds. We have a collision on the road. Debris is everywhere. So listen for that debris because there's screeching tires, there's engines roaring, there's all of this sound going on. But listen to the little pieces of debris that actually bounce around your room and you'll hear them on different sides, in behind you, in front of you, down the sides. Really, really cool there. Then at 1 hour, 48 minutes and 43 seconds, we get the radio. It's a cop radio. The cops are radioing. The helicopter's radioing down to the cop on the side of the road, but the cop car is to the left of the screen. So in all of the chaos that's going on here, tons of engine roaring, tons of engine revving, debris flying around, road rumble galore. I mean, it's just an awesome scene as this entire race plays out. But then we get this little radio and the cop's radio off to the side on the left-hand side just pans off nicely, very nicely done there. At 1 hour, 49 minutes and 26 seconds, the Bugatti gets taken out, the Veyron gets taken out, the collision, the sound, the screeching tires, the car engines panning all around your room as they slow down, accelerate, all trying to avoid colliding with the Veyron themselves. Really nice there. Also pay attention, they went into the woods here, and I think that's part of the video game, because that's what's fun in the video game. You got those trees whizzing by you, you go into tunnels in the video games, all of that stuff. But here they come into the woods. Look at how lush the green looks, how everything looks in this scene as they race through the forest here. Really, really cool. And we're gonna wrap all of this up. Obviously, there's more racing to be done here, but we're going to jump ahead right to the 1 hour, 58 minutes and 20 second mark. Highly emotional scene. We get to the part, it's a lighthouse. And that's what Pete was talking about at the beginning. He saw a lighthouse. They blew him off. They were laughing at him, whatever. But here's the lighthouse. And you get, you know, Toby gets put to the ground, handcuffed. You got the tear coming out of his eye. But the music that's playing, the song that they're playing, everything, emotionally charged scene. And you end it. That's why I wanted to end the podcast on this, or my review of this, with this lighthouse scene. Really cool sweeping shot as they have the helicopter flying around it. They pull away. You get to see everything. You get to see the ocean, the green grass. Really, really nice. Nice audio pans too of the helicopters flying around, the state troopers, the audio of the dialogue of them telling him what to do. Really, really nice. But I thought it was nice. We come full circle here. We end on that lighthouse. Obviously, the movie doesn't end. We go on and we know Toby goes to jail for 172 days, comes back out. So what's that? 6 months, something like that. A little over 6 months. He gets out. Gets the girl, gets a new Mustang, and goes off. And I would love to have Need for Speed 2. Honestly, this movie, it was in 2014. I had so much fun with this movie. I have so much fun with this movie. Been wanting to do this one for a while. Glad I did. I hope you guys enjoy it. I hope you've enjoyed the podcast as well. And let me know what you think. I really enjoy it. Like I said, I love this movie. I think it's a great home theater movie. You'll get the most out of your home theater with this movie, of course. Great home theater experience. Let me know on Twitter, email me, whatever. That's great. But hey, let's wrap things up here. It's been a long podcast. Another great long podcast, if I do say so myself. Okay, thank you to my 13 patrons. And thank you to John Weir and Martin Ahir and Jose Espinola for joining us on Twitter. Join the conversation. Have a great time. That's what this is all about. We're having a great time. Thank you, everybody, for listening. I'll see you next week. I have some ideas on what I want to do, but I'm not sure. Maybe I'll tweet out a secret tomorrow. I don't know. Maybe I'll tweet it out. I don't know. Who knows? Have a great weekend, everybody. And have some fun and go push play. Actually, you know what? Don't just push play once. Push it all week long. Push play a bunch of times. Have some fun. That's what this is about. Take it easy.
Hey, Fred.
This has been a Hey, Fred production with theme music by Jeff Bernhardt and Throne Vault Productions.